Hello, today's sermon is Genesis number 4, chapter 3 to 6. The theme is the fall of man. Our pastor has read through the scriptures there on the screen. God has created this world, including everything, for the 6 days. And not much time after, actually Adam refused to live with God in the Garden of Eden. So the chapter 3 onward, for the subsequent 4 chapters, it talks about the origin of sin, how the man has fallen to be apart from the presence of God. So looking back for the last several weeks, we went through, we started to go through the Bible chronologically. The first part of Genesis, which is chapter 1 to 10, the first 10 chapters, covers the original history of Genesis, which is common for all mankind. This consists of 4 themes. For the first 10 chapters, the first part of Genesis includes the 4 themes. First one, creation, 6 days creation. We covered that for the last 3 weeks. And the second one is the fall of mankind, which we are touching on today. It talks about the origin of sin. The third theme, after the chapter 3 and 6, it talks about the flood judgment from Noah. It's well known as Noah's Ark and Noah's Flood, etc. And after that, the people, Noah's descendants, decided to live according to what they think is right. So there's a story about a Babel Tower, the origin of nations and tongues. So for the last 3 weeks, we've gone through the first theme, 6 days creation today. So today the theme we are dealing with is the fall of Adam and Eve. That means fall of all mankind afterward. So today, you have a very important question as shown on the screen. What is sin? What is the definition of sin? What do you think what sin is? The Bible precisely gives the definition of it. So in chapter 1, after God created all space, time and matters, He created sea stars and all kinds of beasts and plants and fishes and birds and etc. And in the end, He created a man called Adam, really appreciated. God indeed really appreciated it, shown, written in the first chapters of the Genesis. He fully appreciated what He has done. With full of joy, He opened the door of the beginning of all mankind. In chapter 3, however, the human corruption occurs. Here comes the concept of sin. The non-religion in the world speaks precisely of the origin of human sin. And there is no religion to teach, only Christianity, that is the Bible only. The only thing is clear there. The people call the wrong thing happening in the present world as sin. Different people, different nations, different groups and ethnic groups, and different people speaking different languages may have different definitions of sin. According to the Bible, it is the outcome of the fall of Adam and Eve and all mankind afterward. The world cannot, in fact, establish accurate standard and the justice for sin. However, as humans prospered and the number of people increased, we live in the group of people living together in so-called society. And some of them are disturbing the order, destroying the security, well-being, and peace, etc. So as per the need to confine someone who is antisocial, the people agree to have a certain standard. When some people get out of the standards, then we are asked to pay for that consequence and pay the price, right? So the definition of sin and the implementation of how paying such price can vary from group to group and then state to state and nation to nation. So each country can be different, but the origin of nations, the theme we're going to cover from next week, which is like the Babel Tower, which is shown, which figure is shown on the screen at the moment. It's a symbol of the people's disobedience of people who are actually descendants of Noah. So we need look at how we live, the way we implement the justice, we may have different definitions of sin. But in order to precisely know who God is, why our God has been working in such a particular way, we need to know how the original sin was initiated, which is given and provided at the first story of the Bible, the very first part of the first book of the Bible. So for example, there are 50 states in the United States, but not all, but the application of the law may vary from state to state. The lexical meaning of the word sin is, quoted here, falling off the right path and falling into the wrong path, which is the actual literal meaning of the word sin. The biblical meaning of the fall, however, is a result of abandoning God's will and living according to our own feelings, our own thoughts. Again, the biblical meaning of the fall, however, is a result of abandoning God's will and living according to what we think is right. So as a result of the fall means the fall of man and Adam and Eve. All kinds of sins, things that are against God's will, have begun. From Adam's first children, he committed the murder to his brother and became even more corrupt. As a result, the first generations of mankind that had lasted for about 1,600 years after Adam were destroyed by flood judgment. So, and the generations that began again from the family of Noah, who had been alive in the flood refugee, were once again living a fallen life, as revealed by the Babel Tower incident. So God didn't judge again, but he divided the language and scattered all people out, all of the world. The fallen generation will go through the present age of over 4,000 years after Babel Tower, till now, and eventually reach the final judgment, death, sin, unhappiness, suffering, tribulation, and all the tragedies that appear in all human history begin with the fall of this Garden of Eden. Again, at all kinds of tragedies we're dealing with till now, including what we experience in all human history, begin with the fall of this Garden of Eden. So without knowing the original sin, the starting point of this tragedy, it's hard to understand why God's been working in this particular way, why Jesus had to come here, and why he's coming again for final judgment. So understanding sin includes understanding who we are and the difference between the Almighty God, also the humans who have a free will. We are fully capable of using free will according to our own thoughts, but its consequence we can't really take the responsibility of. That's the difference between God and man. So we have to know the events of this fall that are shown here in Genesis, so we can correctly understand the subsequent consequences, including in the New Testament, why did Jesus Christ have to come upon the earth, and to know the reasons he died upon the cross for us, by which we believe to be our Savior correctly. All our understanding of our faith is starting from here, to understand the original fall of man and the original sin. This fall certainly occurs when eating the fruit of a tree of good and evil that God clearly has said not to eat. Then did God, not knowing, couldn't he anticipate what's going to happen? God is everywhere and anytime, omnipotent, we say. And he must have known why did he put it there, to let humans to eat it. They made the valid questions. Now I ask the questions as well. But as you go and read through the Bible and the Word of God and understand his crying heart, we could get that why God has put that the tree of good and evil at the center of the Garden of Eden. And because of Adam and Eve's fault, why do we have to be judged even when we are living now? This, again, it can be a very valid question. We've been suffering because of the original sin. In order to understand this correctly, we need to realize first who is God. What God created the human beings. It is also necessary to fully understand what is called free will given to human beings. First, what is the human being created by God? Have you thought of this question? What is on earth the human beings that have free will? Why is it different to animals? What's the difference? And also the common factors to who God is. Human beings are, as you know well, a being that resembles the image of God. That's precisely written in the Bible. The meaning of resembling the image of God can be interpreted in various ways. Having a specific, I feel myself in that way. So after you have decided on your own, it has that independence as being able to act as you want. That's free will. It is a being with free will. This free will is a great thing to reject or accept even God who created everything including ourselves. I mean, as we studied last week on the subject of creation, as evolutionists say at first, they were inferior. Not through highs to lows, but lows to highs, small to big, simple to complex, everything evolved. However, what the Bible says, which is absolute truth, it was created from the very beginning as a resembling God, as a perfect form. That's who we are. We were created as a perfect form, and we've been deteriorating since then. But the human free will is different from the free will of God, the absolute creator, omnipotent God. God is the one who is self-existent and who can act without interference or influence. On the other hand, humans are the ones who are allowed to be capable of making decisions and acting on their own thoughts, but is largely limited in many, many areas. If the absolute freedom of God is the willingness to possess wholly responsible and complete solution for whatever action is taken, whereas a man's free will resembles God, but in fact it is quite limited, not omnipotent. Limited free will can decide what to do and act according to, for example, your own thoughts. It is a limited and finite freedom that cannot be accounted for its consequence by itself. That's the key. I repeat it here again. It is a limited and finite freedom that cannot be accounted for its consequence by itself. So from birth to growth to death, we must rely only on God who created us. For example, in the instance, Adam must have relied only on God who created himself. It is a personality that can be perfect when living according to God's will. Still, man is very unique among all creatures God created. It is a resemblance to God. It resembles God's image, but can never be the same with 100% degree. It also resembles other creatures and animals, but is also different from 100% animals. In the case of animal, what's the difference to humans? Though it is very rudimentary, but it has its own design. Not only intelligence and emotion, but also the animals even pursue certain actions with willpower and communicate with each other. For example, the gorilla named Coco died on June 19th this year at the age of 46. He was able to write over 1,000 words with sign language and understand about 2,000 English words. Animals also use considerable intelligence and their own will. However, the design of animal is strictly speaking according to the absolute framework of survival and breeding. Again, the design of animal is strictly limited in according to their absolute framework of survival and breeding. It only leads to the problem of eating, drinking, breeding, sleeping, etc. And when a lion hunts and wants eight, it lays down. There's no way for him to save what is left in case prey falls preparing for future. Animals don't say that they have personality because they don't have the ability to choose by themselves, but by design or the program we call it instinct. The lion goes hunting unconditionally according to instinct if they're hungry. Similar with the robot being programmed. Animals don't say or think that, I don't feel so right now, so I'm starving myself, but we'll do fasting. Keep the food for next meals, for next week or the coming winter. They don't fast for themselves, unlike people, human beings, but they do just when cannot find anything to eat and they cannot eat. That's the only reason they cannot eat. It moves according to instincts, cannot choose arbitrarily. The lion has also decided to go hunting, apparently. It is based on a program called instinct again here. It is not free will because it is not a choice of oneself. A typical example is not to consider the time and place like a human being when crossing and breeding. But when it is a crossing time, when the time has come, when it is made it, if it finds a particular mating, if it meets a partner, it acts for breeding regardless of time and place, no concept of right or wrong, not considering any environment or context. They just do it. So the will of the animal will only work within the plans God has already established. The animal's will is a passive and a robotically programmed will. An animal is like a person who acts only by instinct. If we humans, we act on according to our instinct, we are pretty much the same as animals. But in the case of humans, with the instinctive stimulation to feel hunger, what to eat or hungry, by the way, we can choose act by ourselves only according to our own will. So even though we're hungry, we can control ourselves not to eat. So you can save the food for the next coming year or month if it's required. It is the process of using free will from instinctive demands. It may not be effective, it can go against our own instinct. It is not a willingness to act like an animal when it's who are actually pretty much programmed into their own instincts, or to act according to instincts, and it is stimulated to act unconditionally. However, humans' free will, there is a free will that can control our behavior following our decision. So animals and basic instincts can be the same. We can be pretty much the same as what animals do, but even instinctive stimulation to control their instincts, we do have that. Human is a being that can control and choose its own actions, our own actions. So human beings resemble God, but they cannot compare with the almighty, omnipotent God. Again, we can be similar to to an animal, but we are a dignified being that is incomparable to such an animal. So when God created man, he could make us totally like God, or an animal, or unilaterally a programmed robot. Instead, we can communicate with God and the Holy Spirit and know His presence and His own will. We can fully appreciate, understand what He wants and who He is. We can make our own decision to act in accordance with the will of God and to be able to govern this land. The author of Psalm praises it about this appearance of our characteristics. The Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. Again, Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings are that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. In another translation, he said, we are a little bit less than an angel. As a spiritual being, it is the human being standing as the agent of God in the land that God has created. No animals or robots are like that. Human can choose themselves according to his own will with their own freedom. God created human beings by being able to live autonomously according to the will of God, our Savior, our Creator. From that point of view, if you think just a little wrong, we may desire to be like God. We may think, oh, we can be like God. Because we are the ruler, we have free will, we can do whatever we want. Because we have a personal relationship with God, if you forget that you are a God-created creature, it may happen. Adam was such a great creature that he was even confused to be like God, a God-like Almighty, as God was his classmate. But man resembled God, but he was not a God, but his creature. One of many. Human beings are neither omnipotent nor almighty. We are spiritual but cannot see directly recognize spiritual things. So the freedom of a person seems to be like God. However, it is not merely the absolute free will that God has. So God is in the Garden of Eden by designing a tree to know good and evil and not to eat, clearly he said to Adam. Human beings can do by themselves with their free will. The amazing thing is God commanded him, but at the same time, Adam had 100% free will. He could do whatever he wanted. So that's the meaning of the tree of good and evil. By eating them, it could be considered they wanted to pursue to be like God, to put themselves on their throne by disobeying to what God said. Clearly, God always reminded Adam of being a creature who lives according to the will of God, who created him. That's the major meaning of having the tree of good and evil. By having something is not allowed to him, even though he had the free will to be able to do so. Adam could be reminded to live according to the will of God. That's the meaning of the tree of good and evil there, placed at the center of the Garden of Eden. The other fruits of the Garden of Eden could be eaten, but in the other words, all things on this earth can be ruled by himself. But God clearly claimed that do not eat the fruit from the tree of good and evil. In the other words, Adam must have thought, I shouldn't forget that I'm a creature of God and live according to God's will. So the tree that makes a good and evil is the tree that makes men not to forget their identities. Therefore, you'd have known why there was a tree in the center of Garden of Eden that made you aware of good and evil. That might be the question Adam had. This tree was to know how God created man with complete freedom. Also, the existence of man was born by the Creator, God himself. It was to know that He was a living being, having 100% freedom. Just look at the perspective that God is all around, everywhere, ubiquitous, omnipotent. With a general view, God is the creator of a human, a precious being with this personal free will. The good and evil doctrine is that those who are created will be able to live happily together in harmony with the Creator, our God. Let me start here again from the tree of good and evil. The good and evil doctrine is that those who are created will be able to live happily together in harmony with our Creator God. That's the thing Adam and Eve should have been reminded all the time. The humans could be deep in love and grace of the Creator. It is a tree with a deep consideration. In that sense, the Word of God, we have continued to look at the Mount Sinai promise, the Moses law also. You may know that it has the same meaning as the tree that knows the precious tree that let us know meaning of good and evil in this age. But Adam is by listening to Satan's words, has eaten. He actually chose to eat using his free will. He had doubted the will of God and questioned the will of his own with his own will, intentionally knowing good and evil, and disobeyed to what God has told him. This is not just a matter of stealing fruit for his curiosity. He thought he can be like a God. I'm God. A rebellion in the sinful way of Satan. I don't want to live according to God's will anymore. That was the thinking process Adam had. It is an extreme pride that he will occupy the place of God. The result of this pride, of course, is a breaking in the relationship. The breaking in relationship with God. After eating the fruit of the tree of good and evil, to know good and evil, they have become like God or not. They have realized very soon, as they ate the fruit, they couldn't be like the Creator God. That's what they have thought, as Satan said. The truth was immediately realized. Since they have realized, unlike before they ate, peace and freedom, the calmness, the happiness are completely lost from their soul. Instead, it was filled with anxiety, emptiness, and fear, and anger. They tried to find a place to hide from God because they had a fear of death, because they knew they disobeyed to what God said, clearly said to him. God made clear that the price of disobedience is death. The price of sin is death. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. This is the key. The consequence, even though Adam and Eve had the 100% free will, they did whatever they wanted. But its consequence, as a part of sin, they couldn't take a responsibility of. God is the God of justice. So Adam and Eve had to die because they disobeyed. The price of sin is death. But clearly God didn't kill Adam and Eve. God has grabbed an animal and put a leather suit on them. In other words, shedding the redemption blood to forgive them. That's what God has done for them. God is justice and righteous. He couldn't be with the sin that Adam and Eve committed. He was also the God of love and forgiveness. So God had to forgive. He wanted to forgive that he did so. However, the blood of the ransom through these animals, I couldn't restore the relationship completely as before they have eaten. the fruit from the tree of good and evil. The blood of ransom through those animals couldn't restore the relationship with our Almighty God. It wasn't just a restoration of a perfect relationship, though it could escape the status of judgment due to God's justice and righteousness, and escape the state of death for a moment. That's why he wrote this book in Genesis chapter 3. It is the only sacrifice that completely restores the whole relationship with God. So he needs to shed the blood of Jesus Christ, his only son, the only capable offering, died upon the cross for all mankind. He had to come here. He had to give us what he had to forgive us, to save us. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22, according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood, but without blood, there is no redemption. So while back, God has absolute free will, humans have freedom to choose, decide for themselves. As if he had such a limited free will that he couldn't be responsible for his decision. Adam and Eve could act on their own to decide whether they ate the good, the fruit from the tree of good and evil, but they couldn't take the responsibility of that consequence. This is the difference between humans and God. But God could resolve everything, but they couldn't. There is a situation that cannot be held accountable for the results that appear after the choice of eating the fruit from tree of good and evil. Then what was the results that man couldn't take responsibility for after he ate the fruit? That's what's been happening since then. It's written in the Bible, all the mankind history. He had sent his only son. He himself had to come down here to put himself upon the cross in order to forgive all mankind. So his love is written from the very first story in the Bible till the end. So Jesus Christ, it's not only the Old and New Testament. It started from the very beginning of the book of Genesis. Again, according to the Word of God, death came not just the physical death of eating the fruit. It was death that was cut off forever with God. Again, the important thing is here, they were separated from God. So that's eternal death. It was death that was completely cut off forever with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 12, therefore, through one man sin entered into the world, the death came by sin, and so death came to all men because all men sinned. There is an eternal tree next to the tree of good and evil. What does it mean? The physical body and flesh doesn't live forever, but God designed to live forever with Adam and Eve. But after they ate a fruit from the tree of God, good and evil, they were completely separated from God, from his existence. So they're on the way. Their destiny has been decided. Doesn't matter whatever they do. They couldn't help themselves. They started to be apart from where God is. That means only the way towards hell, eternal death. That's the meaning of the consequence of eating the fruit from the tree of God, our good and evil. But God restored the relationship. He wanted to take us back to the right way, towards eternal life, to live with him. Again, there was an eternal tree next to the tree of good and evil. But how long did people live with their flesh? After all, life in the flesh is finite and soon to die. Death by Adam's crime means death that is eternally disconnected from God, repeated here again. Being driven out from the Garden of Eden, like the paradise, they was able to walk with God and live with Him. It's not just concept of moving around. The relationship with God symbolizes the status of being a severe, a forever, running towards death. We say, sinner, say, I'm not such a person. And why is Adam sin to be inherited to us? The Bible in the Old Testament says, the sins of the parents won't be passed on to their children. Sin won't be passed on. But we are born in the land where the first parents of mankind have been cast out by doubting God and choosing to live according to their own way, to become like God, and have become a lifelong existence there. So the disobedience of the fruit, eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, has destroyed the personal relationship with God. And they didn't die in the Garden of Eden, but they indeed actually died 900 years later. We are living in a place where we are separated from God at the moment, where we cannot go back to ourselves. We cannot go back to Him, our God, by ourselves. So the consequence of sin is death. The first people leave the place where they can go to eternal life as the relationship is broken by distrust of God from our ancestor. The way to death, the way of the world. It means that the way of walking, the pathway, the pathway has been changed. Doesn't matter how ethically we live, how much help we give to other people, how good things we do throughout our lives. As long as we are not on the right pathway, we can't get to where we want to go. For example, if we decide to go Sydney, but we are confined to walk towards Adelaide, doesn't matter how hard we walk, for how long hours we drive, we can't get to where we want to be. So that's the difference. They chose to get to towards the eternal death, where they couldn't change its pathway by themselves. The concept of saying that everyone has original sin, that everyone is a sinner, is that we have rejected the relationship with God from Adam, the way of life. It's a state of being on the road to the world of self-thinking and self-control, the way to eternal death, the way to hell. If you walk with God and walk altogether, make a mistake and make a stubbornness, you can just repent and turn your heart, walk together again. Through the Bible, the situation our humanity is facing, not the same way as God going to heaven. If mankind, this world, are walking through a completely different path, which is towards hell. There is a story of life that lives on its own way. So I walk on the road, the good things, the good people, morally, religiously right. Where is the end of the road? The destination? Where are we going to? It is the Bible that says hell. H-E-L-L. In Genesis, this falling event, the fall of Adam and Eve, the mankind, shows in the way that people walk with God, represented by living in Garden of Eden with God. The way to leave Garden of Eden, walk with their own thoughts and walk with Satan, it shows you a completely different pathway. So in every part of the Bible, God is calling them to come back, to repent, to live with me again. If you don't know this, we do not know why we should go to church and believe in Jesus Christ. And we may focus on and concentrate on the job of, on the work of getting many blessings from the church. But that's not the purpose of coming to the church. The fact the original sin is being inherited by people, it means we are now standing on the road towards hell. That's the meaning. the fall of our ancestor, the mankind, including us, that the original sin is inherited. Because the birth of a person is due to parents, if the parents immigrate to Australia and have a baby, the child becomes an Australian citizen. There's no choice. Just like our living in an Australian citizen, all the lives created by those who walk on the path of God from the way of God are those who belong to the world and walk on the path of this world. So if I was born in the wrong way and I compete with those who live in that way as if they were all the way going together, we are on the way going to the wrong destination. And we cannot change it by ourselves. It could be done by only our Savior. We could restore the relationship with God by the Jesus Christ who was sent from our God. We need to know that the end of the road is death, and the hell are sticking status of the road. That is the meaning of the original sin and the meaning of saying we are sinners. It is a matter of where we're going to. It's a matter of the pathway. It is a mistake to think that you will be arriving in Sydney shortly after running your way from Melbourne to Adelaide. Same thing. We need to come back to the right pathway. We have to realize where we are at the moment. When Jesus came, he spoke John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He speaks of the way of life and truth. Jesus said, "I tell you truth, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, and won't come to judgment, but has moved from death to life." It tells about the way of death and the way of life. The way of life from the road of death. It's believing that God is the only way to go to the path of life through Jesus Christ, whom our God sent. This is our belief. The one who has sent Jesus is our God. The fallen events shown in these chapters show the origin of sin and the corruption of mankind. That Jesus, the Messiah, the greatest subject of the Bible, the Son of God, is linked to this very first story. The Genesis chapter 1 to 11 is said to be the original history of everyone, all mankind. So again, it consists of four themes: creation, 6 days creation, the fall of man, and the next week we cover the other two themes: universal flood, the flood judgment, Noah's Ark, and also the Babel Tower, the scattering the nations and tongues. So read the Bible text on this topic, the fall, from chapter 3 to 6. It is a definite concept of sin, original sin, that we have to know in order to have the robust, the faith on God. It shows how God created man and ourselves. So I hope the God, the Creator, we can meditate on who he is and how he works and what he will be able to do for us. So we need to meet his heart through these chapters. So many people ask why the Almighty God knew that people would eat the good, the fruit from the tree of good and evil. When we ask why the sins of Adam and Eve are inherited to us, and gave a heavy burden of original sin to us, correctly conveying the intention and meaning of God's creation, also the meaning of the original sin, which is the matter of where we are, which pathway we are on. I hope those through such opportunities will have the opportunity to know the sincerity of God, also our identity, and the status in terms of having or not having a relationship with God. The restoring relationship with God is not up to us, it's completely up to Him. But He chose to die for us so He could restore relationship with God proactively. It's all about for us, not for him. If you remember the words to share today, you will be able to read them, that his crying heart. Let's ask questions and share each other questions this week. Then let us pray to know further his crying heart. Also ask him to get a full understanding of the Word of God, to allow to have wisdom to know him and to know who we are accordingly. Let us pray.